God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I met someone recently outside of our church, in fact, outside of the church, who used to attend church, who asked me a question recently, and she asked me, "Do you have to be perfect to go to heaven?" Let's take a look at that question today and see, do you have to be perfect to go to heaven? Now, I found shortly after she asked me this question, partly why she asked me this question, is that she said she grew up in a liberal New England church. Anybody been to a liberal New England church? Kind of like I grew up in. And that church pretty much taught you don't need to be perfect to go to heaven, basically because God just saves everybody. Doesn't matter what you do, God is good, God's loving, everyone goes to heaven automatically. You don't have to be perfect to go to heaven. And she told me that this just seemed too easy to her. It kind of turned her off from the church. Then she also had contact with another church growing up, namely a Roman Catholic church in her area. And they taught basically the opposite. Basically, you do have to be perfect to go to heaven. In fact, perfectly perfect. You have to be perfectly righteous to get in. And so what do you have to do? Well, they taught you got to keep all the rules. All God's commandments and all the rules of the church. You got to work hard, strive hard, get there by your own righteousness. Be perfect. Strive for it and get there on your own, basically. God helping you, yes, of course, but it's your righteousness, your perfection that's going to get you there. And she said it also was tough because they'd say, but this is a sin. If you do that, you're going to hell. And if you do this, you're going to hell. And if you do that, you're going to hell. And that, you're going to hell. And it was all, do this and you go to hell. So it was a lot of fear, 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 guilt, 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 no joy, no joy, no joy. And the task just basically seemed impossible. How do you get to heaven on your own strivings? So that turned her off. So what did she do? Basically left both churches, left the church, even for the rest of her life until, well, she was talking with me. And you could see that this question, though, was still bothering her. Because she asked me, even these decades later, do you have to be perfect, Pastor Greg, to go to heaven? You can see that that question was still stirring very deeply in her heart. That's the one she wanted to ask me. And really, there's no greater question than that one. Amen? I mean, we're talking about, we're all mists here. We're all going to not live on this earth forever. We're going to die, and even sometime not in the distant future. And we got to know, how are we going to get there to heaven? Do you have to be perfect to get in? That's her question. That's our question today. Let's take a look at it and see what God teaches us in His Word. So what do we learn? Well, the first thing I'd like to share with you is that perfection, say that word with me, perfection is a key theme in the Bible. Did you know that? Did you miss that? You know, we read in the Bible that God Himself, He is perfect. Wow. We read this in, like, for example, Deuteronomy 32. Moses says, ascribe greatness to God, the rock. His way is perfect, for all His ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without sin or iniquity, just and right is He. So, first thing we got to know is God Himself, He is perfect. He is perfection to a T, completely perfect. The word in the Hebrew for perfect is tamim, which means complete, unscathed, intact, blameless, without fault, free of blemish, impeccable, upright in every way. Remember, John the Apostle said that Jesus told him, he says, this is the message we've heard from Him, from Jesus, and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. In other words, not the tiniest shadow or hint of a shade in Him. He's 100% pure light. This is God. Perfection. Not only is God perfect, but guess what? His Word. Amen? Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. This book, inerrant and infallible. His Word, whatever He speaks, it's perfect, says the Scriptures. His kingdom is perfect. Did you ever think about that? Think about this. In Psalm 50, it says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty God shines forth. So this is talking about, ultimately, heaven. That is a perfect place. Perfection alone is God's home above, his kingdom. And everything God does is perfect. True as well. If you look at David's 2 Samuel 22, David says, "This God, his way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him." So perfection. God himself, our creator, the Father of Jesus Christ, is perfect. He himself is perfection to a T in every way. His person, his heart, his character, his glory, his power, his knowledge, his understanding, his works, his words, his kingdom, his home, his heaven. Guess what? It's all perfect. Say the word again with me. Perfect is God. Wow. But the question we need to ask then is, do we have to be perfect to get to where he is, his home, namely heaven, which is perfect? Do we have to be perfect to get in there? That was the lady's question. That's the question we all need to have answered, because guess what? We're going to all die one day in the not too distant future. We better know if we have to be perfect to get there. So she asked me this question, and I don't know what she was expecting me to say, but my answer shocked her. What I said to her was, actually, your answer to the question, do you have to be perfect to go to heaven, is yes. You must be perfect to get to heaven. Shocked she was. I said, let me explain. God himself is 100% pure perfection. His kingdom, his home, is 100% pure perfection. He doesn't have any sin in heaven. Not a speck of treachery in his presence. He won't allow even the tiniest scrap of evil to be anywhere near him. What is sin, friends? Sin is treason, right? It's rebellion against God. It's wickedness. It's ugly. It's filthiness. It's dirt. It's evil. It's ugliness. It's wicked. So if I had a glass of pure, mountain fresh, absolutely 100% pure water, and I were to give it to you, would you drink it? Sure. Now, if I were to then just add just a drop of poison, arsenic, or sewage to it, would you drink it? No, because, you know, one drop spoils the whole thing. In the same way, heaven, God won't allow a speck or a drop of evil because it would spoil the whole thing. He will not have it in his presence. We really learn this in Scripture. This is the command of God to us through Jesus. We read a moment ago in Matthew 5, "Be ye perfect, therefore you must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So you got to be perfect. Isaiah 35, "A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, and fools shall not err therein." The highway to heaven, if you are unclean, you're not going to get there. "Nothing unclean shall enter the city," Revelation 21 says, "nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood." And again, the gate to the kingdom of God and the city above and the world to come, Revelation 22, "Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." Habakkuk said, God is of purer eyes than to look upon evil, and canst not look upon wrong. Paul says, he alone has immortality and dwells on unapproachable light. Here's a quiz for you. Ready for a quiz? Bill, I'll ask you this one. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to be kicked out of paradise? One. Easy answer. You get 100% today. Gold star. One sin. Think about it. One crime was enough to cast them out of paradise permanently. And we hear in the law of Moses even, that if you want to live and be with God and etc., "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God." So if you want to live, be perfect, keep the law, be 100% perfect and pure. How are you feeling so far? Do you have hopes of getting to heaven? What can we do if we must be perfect? You have to be perfect, okay, to get to heaven. You must have perfection of righteousness, period. There's no no secondary ways to get in. So, what are we going to do? Well, this woman heard from the Roman Catholic Church, at least in her town anyway, basically taught her, well, you work hard, work harder, strive better, keep working at it till you become that perfect person by your own efforts. Yeah, they'll say God helps, of course, Jesus helps, of course, but keep to the work, keep the rules of the church, attain your own perfection by keeping all of God's laws. And if you don't, it's hell, 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 fear, 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 guilt, guilt, guilt. And so is that the way to go? What's the problem with that? If you want to just try to be perfect and be good enough to get to heaven, what's the problem with that? Well, the Bible teaches us, yeah, it's an impossible task. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, let's read it. Romans 3, verse 20, Paul says this. No human being, is that you? Are you guys humans? Okay, good. No human being will be justified in God's sight by works of the law, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. No human being. So if you're a human being and you try to get to heaven by your own righteousness, keeping the law, by your own strivings, the Bible says you won't get there. You can't become perfect on your own. James 2. James says, whoever keeps the whole law, imagine if you could do that, but fails in one point, has become guilty of all of it. How many crimes does it take to be guilty? One crime, but we've even committed many more than that. We've broken all the laws. Again, by works of the law, Galatians 2 says, shall no one be justified. What happens if you try to just do it by your own strivings, your own efforts, your own might? I will be mighty and powerful in righteousness by my own strength. Well, Paul says if you try to keep the law, it's just going to make matters worse because we have sin natures inside of us. Romans chapter 7, he says, when he hears the commandment, thou shalt not do such and such, that's the very thing he wants to do all the more because the sin nature in us hears God's commands of the law and only wants to run after that evil all the more zealously. And we fail, we fall, we falter, we break God's laws. He says, the very commandments which promised life to me proved to be death to me, says Paul. For sin, finding opportunity in the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Hebrews 10 says, for since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, and instead of the true form of these realities, it can never by the same sacrifices which are continually offered year after year, make perfect those who draw near. Think about those words. Can the law save you? We just read in Hebrews 10 that cannot make perfect those who draw near to God through the law. Why? Because it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So, scrappy, right? This is a terrible situation. This is great trouble. And the woman, when I shared this with her, I didn't share all this with her because it was a short talk, but she was dismayed. She was shocked. Oh my goodness, I got to be perfect? She could feel the conviction, I'm not. Can I get to heaven? What do you think I said then? Have a nice day. Bye-bye. I said, well, here's the good news, though. I've got good news for you. You must be perfect to get to heaven. You can't be perfect on your own, but there is a perfect God above us who's provided for us a perfect salvation with a perfect righteousness to cover you with through a perfect Savior, through a perfect sacrifice, that of Jesus Christ. And I explained to her, yes, you got to be perfect to get to heaven. You can't have one spot of sin on you, but this is why God sent Jesus to take and transfer all of the sin off of you, place it upon him as a sacrifice on the cross, your substitute. He then bears it all away from you, and then he takes his righteousness perfectly, his perfect righteousness, lifts it off and places it upon all who believe, and therefore they have the righteousness they need to get to heaven as a free gift received by faith. Is this true? Is this the gospel? Is this our great hope? The Bible says in Isaiah 53, and I shared this one with her. I told her, Look at Isaiah 53. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord, that's God, has laid upon him, the Christ, the sins, the iniquities of us all. Is it possible, Ian, to transfer sins from you to the Savior? Can God do that? Sure, he can do that with each and every one of us. He can lift it all up, and indeed he has placed it upon Jesus. He dies for our sins as a sacrifice, gets killed in order to get us home. I explained to her, it's sort of like baseball. Remember, in baseball, you can lay down a sacrifice bunt. But in that situation, you lay down a sacrifice bunt in order to get yourself thrown out or killed at first base to advance all the other runners around the bases to get them home. I said, Jesus laid down his life for us, was willing to get thrown out, if you will, at first, killed on the cross, to advance all of us runners all the way home. Our sins upon him were placed. His righteousness then is gifted to you who believe in him through the gospel, and you are then covered, get this, in his perfect righteousness, so that you have, through faith in him, what you need to be saved and to get into heaven. Is this the truth? Think about what we read in Hebrews 10 again. He says, again, by the law, he says, it's impossible to make perfect those who draw near. But then in Hebrews 10, verse 14, it says, by a single offering, he has perfected, say the word perfected. He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. In other words, Jesus makes perfect everybody who believes in him. Namely, covers you with his perfect righteousness, so you've got what you need to get to heaven. Hebrews 9 says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, that's heaven, not made with hands, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, heaven, taking not the blood of bulls and calves and goats, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. While we were yet weak, says Paul, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And since therefore we're now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So are you guys going to die one day soon? Are you going to get to heaven? How are you going to get there? By your own righteousness? By your own perfection? Whose righteousness? You need perfect righteousness, but it's not yours. It's God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, credited and gifted to you in the gospel, which you believing on him have, as it says here, an eternal redemption, perfect righteousness, as a free gift that you have the ticket to get to heaven, his perfect righteousness. Look at it again in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. If because of Adam's trespass, death reigned through him, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Do you see the perfect love of God? Of a perfect God who wants to save you perfectly. And he needs to get you to a perfect place, and you have to be perfect to get there. The only way is not your perfection, but his perfection. Through his perfect blood, through his perfect Savior, through his perfect sacrifice, through his perfect gospel, to gift you with a perfection that is not yours, but his own, that covers you and gets you in. This is the perfect love of God to you. And Paul says, for his sake, for Christ's sake, I've suffered the loss of all things. In other words, all my strivings, all my trying to keep all the rules, all my efforts to keep the law, I've given all of those up and count them as refuse, garbage and dung, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So is righteousness that you get to heaven a free gift? Say the words with me, free gift. That's what God gives us in Christ. He accomplishes what we could not do to get us into heaven. So, must you be perfect to get to heaven? Answer, yes. How are you going to get there? By your own perfection? No. But how do you get there? By Christ's perfection? Yes. And where do we get that? It's in the gospel. Yes. This makes it only all the more clear why no one can come to the Father except through me, says Jesus, because you got to have my righteousness to get there. This is great news. And she was delighted to hear this. I could see, I didn't think she came to faith, but she was starting to go like, wow, that's great. It makes sense finally. But then she said there's an objection still, kind of, because it still doesn't ask anything of us. She says it still seems all too easy. I mean, just God does everything and saves you, gives you righteousness, and we're just off scot-free? Well, I said the answer is yes, it is that simple and it is that easy on the one hand. But it wasn't easy for God. It cost him his own son. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It cost him his own blood. So it does come at great cost, just not yours. But I said, secondly, on the other hand, yes, it does also still require much of you. Everyone to whom much is given of him, much shall be required. Once we're saved, I told her, it's not just you live any way you want and you go after wickedness, but you're called to strive for perfection. Not that you get saved by that, but you're called to fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. Jesus says, I'm coming soon, Revelation 3. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Paul says that we are saved and become irreproachable through his death, reconciled to God. He says, provided, in verse Colossians 1:23, provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So I said, yes, it is easy, but on the other hand, it's also hard, you see, sister, that you have to, once saved, follow Christ, keep to Christ, don't let anybody steal your crown, hold fast to this gospel because the devil's still after you, the world's still after you, sin is still after you. We're still passing through enemy territory. We're still called to go after these things and hold them fast. So she was like, well, that makes more sense that something is actually asked of us. And I always relate it back to, you know, World War II and the Bataan Peninsula, where the armies of the Americans were captured by the Japanese, placed in a prison camp. They couldn't get out of this death camp on their own strength at all. They were completely doomed, except that the U.S. forces sent a savior, just as God sent us a savior. In this case, it was Lieutenant Mucci of the Army Rangers. He went in and broke them out by his own strength and that of his company of men only. Saved by grace. We're saved by grace. We can't break ourselves out. It's only God who does it. But once having been brought out of the prison camp, the soldiers who are now free, and they're with their Savior, in this case the Lieutenant, in our case Jesus Christ, they're still now called to fight. And you're still passing through enemy territory. Don't let the enemy turn you back to the prison camp. You have to stay close to your Savior. Follow him closely and fight against the enemy, lest they capture you again. We, having been set free by Christ, are called to keep to him, to our company commander, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and not be overcome again and brought back to the death camp. Fight the good fight of the faith is our call. And along the way, God makes us more like him. He grows us up in Jesus to be more and more perfect, like he is in righteousness, actively in our own lives. That's called sanctification. Put off your old man, your old nature, says Paul. Put on the new man, the new Christ, the new nature you have in him, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. That's every day. Put on the new nature created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So God is perfect. He saves you perfectly in Jesus, covers you already with perfect righteousness and salvation for covering you and freeing you, sets you free by his own power. And he says, now let's work on your perfection on the way to heaven. I'll make you like myself. I'll use trials to do that. James chapter 1, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I'll use my word to do that. 2 Timothy 3, that you may be complete, equipped for every good work. I'll use my spirit to do that, says God, for where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We're in freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, keeping our eyes on Jesus, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So are you called to perfection as Christians? To live perfect lives or to strive after it? Yes. Every day we're becoming more and more like Jesus. But it's not about guilt, 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 fear, fear, fear. But it's joy, joy, joy. You're saved and you're free. This is just God growing you up until that day he makes you perfect when you get to heaven. He's just growing you up as a loving father until you're mature adult children. And Paul says, this is the will of God for you, that you just do the things that we've commanded you more and more. Grow in righteousness. Become more perfect. Strive for it, but we're never going to get there fully in this life. That's why Paul says in Philippians 3, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. But what does he do? He says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Yes, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So a perfect God has perfectly saved you, perfectly covered you, perfectly freed you, and now is perfectly growing you up to be more like him in perfection until that day he makes you perfect in heaven. Are you going to get perfection in heaven? Hebrews 12 says this, there it's the spirits of just men made perfect. Looking forward to that one? Shaking off all this sin nature? That's coming quickly to you when you leave this earth. And God's going to make you perfect at the day of your homecoming. And he's also going to give you a perfect world. A new heavens and a new earth, says Peter, in which righteousness dwells. It's going to be a perfect world. Are you looking forward to it? This world is so crappy and falling apart. The new one is going to sparkle in splendor forever. When the perfect comes, says Paul, then the imperfect will pass away. And we're just going to have a perfect kingdom, a perfect God, a perfect Savior, a perfect salvation. And we also will be made like God, perfect by his own power. And the earth should be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So that's what's in God's mind, okay? This is our destiny. This is our destination. Enjoy there forever with him. So let's run to it with zeal. In conclusion, ready for the conclusion? Do we need to be perfect today to go to heaven? Answer? Yes. Yes. Is it your own perfection that's going to get you there? Yes. No. Is it Christ's perfection that gets you there? Yes. Yes. How does he gift it to you? In the gospel, through his cross, preached to you, you believing, you receive it as a free gift. Hooray. And then he calls us to go after perfection and get better in it day after day. But it's Christ's righteousness that is your ticket in. And we run for that perfect kingdom and that perfect God with perseverance, the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So, praise be to God. God, you are perfect. Thank you for saving us perfectly. Conclude with us from David's words, 2 Samuel 22. This God, his way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all of those who take refuge in him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Do You Have to Be Perfect to Go to Heaven? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.